Hello and welcome to
Fun Fact Friday.
I'm your host, Leela.
And I'm your other host, David. I'm Leela's dad.
Fun Fact Friday is a weekly podcast where we discuss fun facts that you find online.
All of our fact sources will be in the show notes.
Before we get started, we have some quick news.
If you have any fun facts to share or have a correction for us, you can send them to mail@funfactfriday.com. We now have a donations page as well. We do this show for the fun of it, not the money, but it does cost money. If you'd like to help us with our server costs or just buy us an ice cream, visit funfactfriday.com and click donations. We have multiple options there. Donors over a certain level will get some added bonuses. And last one. Rode Microphones is hosting a contest where independent podcasters like us here at Meetus Media can win lots of great audio gear and software. We've submitted a 2-minute podcast, and it would be awesome if you could go vote for us for the People's Choice contest. There will be a link in this episode's show notes. Okay, Leela, so what is our theme for this episode?
I've been waiting for this episode. Today's theme is weather, specifically storms.
Great, because I've got some weird storms that have happened throughout history. So go ahead and hit us with your first storms fact.
About 1 septillion snow crystals fall from the sky each winter. Septillion is like a trillion, which, if you're wondering, that's a 1 with 24 zeros behind it.
24 zeros. Wow. I would guess worldwide, maybe.
I would guess. It sounds like a lot of snow crystals to just be in the USA.
Yes, and this is not a fact because I've only heard it. I haven't researched it at all, but the quote-unquote fact that all snowflakes are unique is definitely not true.
Oh, it's not. So, Dad, what facts do you have for us?
Well, I have one from grunge.com. 1816 is the year that summer didn't come.
How come?
Mount Tambora, I think it's Tambora, in Indonesia, erupted with a massive explosion that sent clouds of volcanic ash into the atmosphere. I'm having trouble reading on this episode. Much of the northern hemisphere was covered with a shroud of dirt and dust that refused to settle. And in June of 1816, it became clear that something was very wrong. The cold weather of the winter months just didn't end. Frost killed crops, rain, and snow persisted through the summer months. It was a year without a summer, and with snow in June came all sorts of problems for the people of the time. It was a very bad year worldwide.
Sounds like Pompeii, but cold.
Yeah, when the ash goes up and blocks out the sun, you're gonna have issues. To expand on that a little bit, The Guardian collected a whole list of brilliant artistic achievements written in the gloomy, sunless summer, including Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, Byron's poems Darkness and Prometheus, and masterpieces by Beethoven and Schubert. So at least we got some good art out of the whole mess.
Oh, yeah. I love Beethoven.
Beethoven?
Beethoven.
On Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, they call him Beethoven.
So rude.
Do you have another fun fact for us about weather / storms?
I have one. Swiftly moving away from cold, a heat wave in California once turned tasty grapes into raisins. It hit California's wine country, and it had a very negative effect on all of the vineyards.
That sounds exactly like the next one I was about to say.
Really?
Yeah. It's from 1960 in Texas. And coming from Texas, I can go ahead and tell you, we were in West Texas, is where I grew up. And the heat there is already unbearable. I remember days of 115 degrees outside, just playing in the water, you know, get the water hose going with the sprinkler, having a good time. On June 15th in 1960, the good people of Copperell, Texas, became convinced that God had gone on vacation and that Satan was coming to town. It was an early morning with the temperature hovering around 70 degrees, and there were a few clouds and a bit of heat lightning, and then the temperature skyrocketed. Within minutes, it reached more than 100, and some people have claimed that their thermometers bust and couldn't register the extreme temperature change. Power failed. People awoke thinking that their houses were on fire. It was so hot. Unofficially, people were saying it got around 140 degrees, according to the National Weather Service. It stayed there for 3 hours. They went out after the heat and checked their fields, the farmers of the area, and they found that their cattle had not survived. Whole fields of corn had withered and died, and the cotton fields had shriveled up. So they pretty much lost all of it.
That's crazy.
It is. It's called a heat burst. We know this now. They didn't know it at the time. It's when the air has risen during a thunderstorm, and it gets compressed and pushed back down. And it's compressed and superheated. So normally the temperature on the ground rises 20 degrees or so, like that. But Copperell, Texas, 70-degree temperature change. It was an extreme difference. So that became known as Satan's storm in the area.
Ooh.
That's crazy. I can't imagine you're sitting there and it's 70 degrees. That's nice, especially with the low humidity in Texas.
Yeah.
Well, certain parts of Texas. I'm not sure where Copperell is, but that's unimaginable. 70-degree temperature change that quickly. Mind-blowing.
You're baffled by some of the stuff that you can find online while researching. It's truly amazing.
Do you have a good time going out and finding these facts?
Yes.
Good. It's part of the reason I wanted to do the show.
Yes.
More heat, or what else do you have for us?
I have one a little bit more closer to storms and not heat waves. I have one about blood red rain that poured down on India for an entire summer.
When was this?
This was in 2001.
Oh, that's not that long ago.
Not that long ago at all. A few days before the blood red rain started, people saw a flash of light and a sudden booming sound in the sky. They also said that trees shriveled up and shrunk. It was said that the red particles in the rain were a spore from some sort of fungus.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
We could probably do a whole episode on mushrooms and fungus. Oh, yes, there's so many totally interesting facts. How long did you say that it rained down?
From July through September.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was more than a month. I can't believe I had never heard that before. That's interesting that that's such a big deal. And
yeah, it should be more of a big deal. That's pretty cool and pretty terrifying for probably some people in the area that didn't know what's going on. I mean, trees shrinking and shriveling up, like, in a booming sound in the sky? I wonder what happened there.
Well, booming sounds in the skies can be caused by lots of different things. Just differentials in temperature and air pockets and whatnot. My next one is something that you can actually see today. Most of these have been just a weird event that's happened in the past or a fact about statistics. But this one is an ongoing phenomenon. The Catatumbo Lightning.
We're bad at saying names here on Fun Fact Friday.
I read them the way I read them.
True.
This is a phenomenon that you can go visit today. It is in Venezuela, where Lake Maracaibo joins up with the Catatumbo River. An average of 260 days a year, the sky is filled with lightning.
Wow.
If you make it there in October, you'll be treated to a spectacular light show that averages around 28 flashes of lightning every minute.
Interesting. Sounds fun, though.
This is also from grunge.com. The weirdest part is that no one seems to know what causes this. Most of the things that we talk about with weather, they've at least got a real good, solid idea of what's causing it.
Yes.
But these, the theories are all over the place with this one. They range from a secret uranium deposit attracting the lightning to a high concentration of methane making the air extra conductive.
Yes, that is a possibility.
The main theory these days is that the land irregularities are arranged in such a way, and it causes weather patterns to come together to form this lightning show that happens most of the year. This can be seen.
I like that.
It's interesting. I think Venezuela's having some problems right now, but if they ever straighten that out and we go visit, that'd be something I'd want to go see.
Yeah.
The lightning can be seen from 250 miles away and was first documented by Westerners in 1595.
Whoa.
So we've known about it for a while, and yet this is the first I've heard of it.
Me too.
It was when I started researching for this episode.
I have a short hurricane fact, which is, if you live in the U.S., you know this, but 40% of U.S. hurricanes hit Florida. It seems like more, but 40%.
Hurricanes either hate or love Florida, depending on your outlook on whether the hurricane's intent is to harm or hug.
I see both.
Come give us a hug, Florida. I've got one that's a little gross.
Ugh, fine.
The Victorians were obsessed with leeches, and they thought almost any ailment could be cured with the application of leeches. And if that wasn't bad enough, there was also a belief that leeches could give a decent weather forecast. So basically, there was this guy named George Merriweather, and he found an old poem that said, "Leeches tend to rise to the surface when disturbed." So he got to thinking and inventing, and that led him to create the Tempest Prognosticator. It was basically, he arranged leeches into bottles containing the leeches and the water. And when the air pressure dropped, leeches would rise in their bottles, trip a pin, and ring a bell.
That sounds really gross.
It is really gross. Leeches are gross. They're slimy, and they suck your blood out of you. Mayweather would write to the Whitby Philosophical Society whenever his leeches predicted a storm. And sometimes they were right. They were able to predict a storm, but couldn't really tell when exactly the storm would hit, so it wasn't extremely useful.
True.
He had plans of installing these devices with these leeches across all of London to predict storms and help people, but by the time he got around to that, the British Meteorological Office came up with some less gross options that probably didn't involve any living creatures at all.
Sounds better than leeches.
Yes. No leeches in the weather prognosticating.
Yay. Waffle houses.
Waffle houses what now?
Waffle houses. You'd think if you were a federal emergency agency, you wouldn't be calling a restaurant, but Waffle House is located in almost all exclusive hurricane zones, and they call them to see what's happening and how much damage they're taking to buildings around them.
So since Waffle Houses don't close during a hurricane, because Waffle Houses are always open, regardless of the situation, the Federal Emergency Management Agency is like, ooh, we don't have to go put boots on the ground. Let's just call the Waffle House.
Yeah.
Have one of your hash brown cooks go outside and tell us what's going on with the weather.
And then get us a waffle or two. Bring back to them.
Send some waffles over to the Holiday Inn where we're staying. That's Waffle House sounds fantastic.
I know. Hopefully one day we'll get to go back.
Still in quarantine.
Life. Out of the house.
You know, Leela, I think we're running out of time for this episode, but I have a lot more facts about storms left. So maybe we could do a bonus episode on storms.
Ooh, that sounds awesome.
That does sound good, because I still have twice as many facts as the ones I've said. So, yeah, to be continued on this one.
Be looking out in the future for a part two.
Part two. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. Fun Fact Friday with Leela and David is a Midas Media production.
All rights reserved unless otherwise stated.
Our theme music is written and recorded by
me, Leela. Have a great weekend, folks, and we hope to see you again on the next
Fun Fact Friday
with Leela and David.